It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
All right, we've checked the gloves. We've met our specifications. Chris Hahn, you're in your corner. I'm in mine. Let's touch those gloves and come out swinging and winging.
I don't know, man. I'm weighing in a little heavy right now. It's like post-New Year's malaise. I'm running like crazy, but the weight is... I guess I'm getting old, man. I mean, I'm not as old as Mick Jagger. Or you, for that matter.
Mick Jagger, where did that come from?
Well, you handed me a paper saying that you're just like Mick Jagger when I walked into the building here today.
Mick Jagger?
Say, I'm just like Mick Jagger.
No.
I have a young girlfriend or wife just like Mick.
Hold on a sec. He loved the Hells Angels.
Yeah.
I'm the leader of the National Guardian Angels.
But the two of you have a penchant for women born in the 80s. So I don't know what's going on.
Anyway, so wasn't he? He was married to Hall. The model.
Jerry Hall,
who
yes.
Then married Rupert Murdoch.
Well, good, trade it up, I guess.
Understood.
At least financially.
Yes.
They both look like the Crypt Keeper, but you know.
Yeah, but Mickey, my button fell off my trousers there, right?
Look. Mick Jagger is a superstar rock star. Now, you're a very large local celebrity. I will give you that. I mean, I've been aware of you since I was a child here in New York.
So. You make me feel so young.
I remember the first time I came into the city looking for a red beret when I was on the subway because kids from the suburbs were afraid of the city. I mean, I'm not as afraid of it as I used to be. And now that I know most of the Angels, I'm like, they might mug me.
This week I pimped your ride. As many of you know, Chris Hahn, regular contributor to Fox News Channel. And I blew it up on Gutfeld.
Oh, you were on Gutfeld this week?
Oh, it was so good. Because remember, unlike most programs that always talk politics, and there's a new study, University of Nebraska says, too much discussion of politics, either on the Trump side or the Biden side, will give you migraines, will affect your mental state of affairs and your physical.
And I got to tell you, we do it for a living, so it doesn't really affect us as much. I mean, I've been doing this since before it was a problem, right? I've been talking politics since my first TV show, Youth in Politics, back in like 1995. But the average American doesn't. And they are taking it too hard, I think. A perfect example, last night I was out on Long Island. A friend of mine was in a show with Kevin James, the King of Queens. You know Kevin James.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah, it was very good. It was Oliver. At a little theater out in Syosset.
Well, was he wearing his UPS outfit,
shorts? I got to tell you, he was fantastic. And his kids were good. His kids were in it with him. And my buddy was in it as well. He played one of the...
Oh, he was great in Mall Cop, remember?
He was great. I can't think of anything he's ever done I didn't like, actually, frankly. I love that guy. I think he's hilarious. I like that show he did on Netflix, The Crew. I watched it, beginning of COVID.
So he was doing a play?
He was doing a play with his kids. He wanted to act with his kids. His son and two of his daughters were in the show with him. And actually, I think all three or four of his kids were in the show with him. He's got a very young kid, and then he's got two that are teenagers, and then one that's about 10 or 11. The 10 or 11-year-old actually played Oliver, the lead in the show. And Kevin played the lead guy, Fagin, in the show. And after the show, though...
Fagin.
That's, you know the show.
Right out of Charles Dickens?
It's from Charles Dickens. It's Oliver Twist. Right. So I'd never seen Oliver the play. I read Oliver Twist.
A little anti-Semitic there, Fagin, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway. So Kevin James was fantastic in the show. But after the show, though, my point is, I'm out with my buddies after the show. We're having French fries at the diner.
Ooh. Now, that's how you rate a diner.
Yeah.
By their French fries.
They were pretty good French fries.
Okay.
I think it was the On Parade Diner in Syosset.
All right. Okay.
Give them a plug. And, you know, we were just having a good time. And then the subject of politics came up. And there were four different opinions. And everybody got mad. And the night was over.
Wow.
The night was ruined. And it sucks.
Now, how long have you been friends with these guys?
High school. These are friends.
Wow, these
from
are long term buds.
Yeah. Well, it was two of my best friends, and then my friend's wife was in the show with him. Our wife stayed home. My friend came down from Connecticut. I came out from the East End. We all met in Syosset.
Well, why so vitriolic? Why?
I think that we've been at each other's throats for so long. And by the way, I take some blame for it too. It wasn't only my friend. I mean, I take it too much to heart sometimes when I'm talking to you, but when I'm talking to people who are not really in the business. I'm sick of it. I want to have a week, maybe a month, where we just take a pause from talking politics, like where we don't say Trump. We can talk about issues, things like that. But it's disturbing to me where this country's going to. I feel like everybody's at each other's throats. People who love each other, who are friends with each other, who have long-term relationships, who know they have much more in common than they are separate, are fighting over this nonsense. And it's because, look, I feel like the media, and we're a part of it, partially to blame for it, are forcing this on people because we want people to stay tuned, click more, look at my Facebook feed, look at my Twitter feed, watch my radio.
How many of your lifelong friends have defriended you on Facebook after last night's sit-down?
None. And, you know, we were all hugging it out by the end of the night. But it was a moment of, you know, hostility. And frankly, I think this is what our enemies want from us, frankly, Curtis. I think this is what our enemies want. I think this is what Russia wants. This is what China wants.
We're going into February, which is the shortest month of the year.
Yes, it's the shortest month of the year.
So, you know, there's some people, it would be impossible for them to not want to get involved in divisive political talk. So how about, you know, they have January you stay alcohol-free, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you drink like a fish.
The rest of the year, 11 months.
And then we could go right into February where you don't talk politics.
I think it's got to be like August when most people are on vacation. Wait. I think February is too rough of a month. It's cold.
Yeah, no, you're stuck.
There's nothing to do. There's not a lot of good sports. After the Super Bowl, there's not a lot of good sports in February either, right? March, at least you have March Madness.
Well, by the way, with all the playoff action this weekend, your predictions of who's going to end up in the Big Dance?
I got to tell you, the Buffalo Bills looked really good last night. I didn't even watch the game because I was at that play, and I kept on sneaking out to check the score of that game. I like that quarterback they have up there in Buffalo. I've liked them for a long time, and I think that they're going to be I don't know.
Coach Belichick have to say afterwards?
I didn't listen. I didn't want to hear it.
I'm sure
he put up his hoodie, tightened the string, and walked off. But
if you had a bet on it, who are the two teams in your mind that end up in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm not going to bet on the Bills because I think there's a lot of I think the KC Chiefs are looking pretty good.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers.
It looks like round two, right?
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I think it could be round two. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, how about you?
The vaxxed versus the unvaxxed.
The vaxxed.
Wouldn't that be great?
Versus the unwashed.
No, but that would be America, right? Here, the Green Bay Packers, synonymous with Aaron Rodgers.
We don't know what his vaccination
status
is.
Yeah, but we're just
assuming. We are assuming he's unvaxxed.
He's like Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets. He's like Djokovic, who has just been sent out of Australia.
And the NFL is like Bill Clinton. They've adopted a don't ask, don't tell policy. For vaccination and testing, frankly.
For a lot of Americans, it's going to be, Aaron Rodgers, the Jeopardy guy. That's right. He could have been Ken Jennings. How did you like him in Jeopardy?
I thought he was okay in Jeopardy. Of course, I didn't know about his anti-vax status then. I think I would probably look at him a little differently.
It
would have affected me. I want to be completely honest, America. I would have been affected by that. I liked it then. And by the way, he was my fantasy football quarterback this year.
Wow.
He was, and he screwed me up that week he had to be out because of COVID. But I've always liked Aaron Rodgers. I don't understand this. And same thing with Djokovic, right? Whatever his name is.
Yeah, from Serbia.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who's been into quack science before, right? This is not the first time that he's decided that he knows what's going on.
He calls it holistic homeopathic.
Yeah, I call it quackery, okay? He once was on a podcast with a doctor who gave him pills to hold in his hand and then knocked the pills out of his hand.
That's kinesiology.
Yeah.
And
said, those pills won't be good for you.
Yeah, I've done kinesiology. It works.
No,
what's wrong with you?
It's
not quackery. You're probably the same guy in the 50s who would have said the chiropractic care was quackery.
Well, I wasn't alive in the 50s like you. As we started the show, you and Mick Jagger have a lot in common. You both remember the
50s. In 1954, I was birthed in New York. We went to Chicago, where my dad was from. 40 degrees below zero before global climate change.
Right.
It's only
20 degrees below zero there right now.
I had a cold. And my mother, you know, was from New York. So we got to take him to a doctor, Chester. Because, you know, he goes to any doctor. He goes to the chiropractor. She goes, wait a second. That's like voodoo. You can't take my son to a chiropractor.
Oh, you don't go to a chiropractor for a cold.
Yes, yes. Dr. Schluter. Dr. Schluter adjusted me at 3 months old. The cold went away. And then he also looked at me and he said, this kid, you got to put on pet milk. He's having a problem.
Pet milk? What's
pet
that?
Pet milk. Oh, that's a can. That's a carnation, you know, evaporated milk.
Oh, you mean condensed milk?
Yes, yes.
That's like the sweetened milk.
Well, in Mexico, that is considered like
you ever
a
have
refreshing
trace,
beverage.
You ever have tres leches?
Yes.
I mean, that's maybe
that's what it
milk.
Is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very
it's made
good.
Out of pet milk. So I was weaned on pet milk. Yeah, I yeah. got chiropractic care. You would have called
know.
That quackery.
You're kind of skinny, though, Curtis. I mean, I mean, for a guy, for a tough guy, I mean, what are you, like 140? Like
200.
No way.
200.
No way are you 200 pounds.
Yes, I am.
You are not 200
pounds. And it's
pounds.
All muscle and brawn. No
fat. You're about 140, 145.
Put the pads on.
I remember the first time I actually met you. I remember it like it was yesterday, because I always thought you were this big guy, this big muscle guy. And in college, you come up to the University of Albany. I was president of student body at the time. A mutual friend of ours brought you up. What was his name? Ron Tarosian.
Yes.
Yes. Ron Tarosian brought you up.
The
to
Zionist.
This group. Yes.
Zionist.
And now he's like a big marketing guy. It's like, which is funny. But Ron Tarosian brings you up. I'm like, oh, Curtis Sliwa. I got to be Curtis Sliwa. I know Curtis Sliwa. I remember watching him with Ernie Anastos on the 7 o'clock news after the Muppet Show. So I go in. I'm like, I'm going to meet this guy. And I'm like, wait a minute. You were taller than me, but you're just a skinny guy. Like, you weren't big. I mean,
so I'm a skinny Bellini to you.
Well, I mean, you're not as big as I thought you'd be when I met you. I thought you'd be this, like, behemoth guy.
I know, but Krishan, as you know, the reputation.
I mean, you can take a punch. I know that.
And I could give a punch, hit yes. people so hard their mothers would feel the vibrations.
Well, I don't ever want to find that out, all right?
So what did you
out.
Think of the speech? There I was, all of you, nubile, young, pre-grad.
I will tell you, because I had already worked on a presidential campaign. I worked on Bill Clinton's presidential campaign. This is 1993. I'd worked on Clinton's campaign the year before, in 1992. And I'd worked on Jerry Brown's campaign as well.
Oh, Moonbeam
yeah,
Jerry Brown.
I was a Jerry Brown guy originally. I said to myself, oh, this guy gets it. Giving a speech is entertainment.
Yes. Yes.
And I have never forgot it. That's me. When I give a speech, I'm like,
it's a serious subject.
Are people listening to me?
It's a serious subject, anti-Semitism.
Yes.
And I had the crowd rolling.
You did.
I had them laughing.
And there were people from both sides of the issue there.
Well, some Palestinians here with their
There were people from, you know, the African Student Union. Asuba. Yes. There was a big war going on. It wasn't really a war. It was like a conflict between the what was called Asuba at University of Albany. And his was like RZA, I think, was Ron's group.
Yeah, well, you see, it's beyond me. I'm a high school dropout. You know, I don't get the lingo
and
there was of
like,
fraternities,
like a Cold
sororities.
War right, between right. them. Like, oh, one brought up Meir Kahane. The other one brought up Harissa Shabazz. You know,
Khalid
like
Muhammad.
Yeah, it was a whole thing going on. And then who's the other guy that came up? The rabbi.
Rabbi Avi Weiss.
Avi Weiss.
That's
I had
right.
lunch
oh,
with Avi Weiss.
He's a bomb thrower, Rabbi Avi Weiss.
It was very, very
wow.
Intense.
You were right in the intense fire
of New York City in Albany.
Here it
was like
it is,
little Albany, little New York.
Instead of you putting the pads on the gridiron and like playing linebacker or
I
flanker,
was still doing that too. At the
you
same
were a
time.
Kicker.
I was a kicker.
You were a kicker. Kickball.
Nine
kickball.
Tackles in my NCAA
Nine
career.
Nine tackles.
Yeah, we weren't too good my first
wait,
2 years.
So you actually wrote down each of the tackles. Saved the.
I think I have a broken bone for every tackle. Nine tackles, man. Nine tackles. But I was doing it. I was doing that. And being student body president, learning all this stuff, meeting you back then, meeting other world leaders that would come to University of Albany. President Clinton came to University of Albany. Other people came to University of Albany. And great experience. I don't know why we're going down this path, but it's 1-800-848-9222 if you want to be part of the national conversation with Curtis and I. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to be here till 5, so stick it around.
Experts have done the math. In 2020, despite the pandemic economic turndown, house prices rose 10.2% in 12 months. That trend continued into 2021, and now top advisory firms predict they could increase another 16% in 2022. It's a market best suited for those developing real estate. That's where NRIA comes in. NRIA develops and sells multifamily buildings in high-demand, supply-constrained areas. We've been in business for 15 years, providing our clientele with passive real estate investment offerings. The market is surging. Take this opportunity to diversify into something with a firm foundation while we target competitive returns. Call 800-800-1414 or visit NRIA.net. Pick up the phone. That's 800-800-1414.
An offer of securities is only made by the NRIA Private Placement Memorandum. Read it first. Past performance does not guarantee future results. NRIA is a real estate development firm. Learn more at NRIA.net.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Another calamity for Curtis Sliwa, Chris Hahn. I have to avoid yellow cabs. Remember in June 1992, shot in the back of a yellow cab on the orders of the Gaddis of the Gambians. Yep. And then when I was running for mayor 3 days before the ballots were cast, hit by a cab outside a Radio City Music Hall as the Rockettes. The Rockettes were practicing.
You shouldn't have been looking at the Rockettes. You're a married man to a woman half your age, or a third your age, I should say.
Yeah, but the kick line. I mean, looking at those gams, the kick line.
I love it.
And then I scored the trifecta, the Trinity, the Troika. The other morning, getting out of a yellow cab, I reached in to get my bag. The SUV yellow cab rolled right over both my feet.
Oh, my God.
Right over. And
how you've lived in the city your whole life. You don't know to look before you step into the street?
No, my problem is I have to stay away from yellow cabs. This never happens to me in the subways, you know.
It's because you drank all that condensed milk as a kid.
Pet milk. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, I got the pains and strains because you know how many small, minute bones there are in your feet.
Yeah.
Fractures, breaks. I got to go to Trinity Rehab because my first inclination was go into the medicine cabinet, you know, get some of those Vicodins, those Percocets left over from a recent dental visit.
You don't want that.
Where I had to get my implant of a tooth that I lost playing football in high school. But I resisted that. Well, I'm going to go down that road. So I'm waiting to go to Trinity Rehab. They're located throughout New Jersey because they know how to deal with pain, massive pain. So much so that people come in there from Pennsylvania, Mid-Hudson Valley, come across the George Washington Bridge from Manhattan because they have the EPAT machine. It's FDA approved. And what it does, it uses acoustic wave technology, similar to what's used to break up kidney stones, except in this case, it's breaking up scar tissue, which leads to the pains in your back or neck pain, tennis elbow, Djokovic, tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis, and knee pain. And in just 3 5-minute sessions, you could be virtually pain-free. No drugs. They're all over New Jersey. Write this down. Share it with people you know and love who are in pain, especially with the temperatures plummeting below zero. All those fractures, all those breaks, all those strains and pains come to the surface. They're open in Clifton, Paramus, Wayne, Short Hills, Emerson, East Windsor, Shrewsbury, Wallwood, Pratt, and two brand-new locations in Hackensack and Wyckoff. Call Trinity Rehab today. 800-518-0977. That's 800-518-0977. Or go to trinity-rehab.com. That's trinity-rehab.com.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. The 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
1-800.
New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-9222. If you want to be part of the national conversation, Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa.
All right, Chris, stop filibustering me.
I'm sorry.
As you did in the first segment.
I'm sorry.
There wasn't a mention of Joe Biden at all, our president.
I'm trying to avoid Joe Biden today.
He's having a rough week.
He's having a rough week.
You were filibustering me. You did everything you could.
Kissing your butt, man.
You were doing the pirouette.
I was like, remember when you used to do WABC TV?
to distract me. You were doing a plie, anything to avoid the subject. So we got to get down to it.
Go ahead.
President Joe Biden not looking too good in the polls. And it just seems to me he and a lot of the Democrats don't get it, Chris. Maybe you do. But everywhere I go, people, they're talking about inflation, the price of just basic products, and the fact of the economy. And it's not about voting rights. It's not about the agenda that Joe Biden and the Democrats want. You rarely, if ever, hear any conversation about that. When do you think the president and his vice president and Democratic leadership, the guy you worked for, Schumer, majority leader in the Senate, and Nancy Pelosi can – sort of veer their membership in the direction of what Americans are talking about and what Americans
want.
Well,
let's be clear. They passed a fantastic bill at the beginning of the year last year that provided a lot of people security throughout this crisis, right? The Pandemic Relief Act. I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now. They passed that bill. They passed the infrastructure bill. All these things are going to have tremendous benefit to the United States, the infrastructure bill, particularly once it gets going. But there is an inflation problem in this country. There's very clear people are paying more for gasoline. They're paying more for basic goods, condensed milk, if they're, you know, trying to wean their kid off of the I don't know if I don't know what word I'm allowed to say.
1% milk, 2% milk, whole milk.
Yeah, there's a lot of milk problems. There's a milk problem. Maybe people want to breastfeed a little longer now, but like the grapes of wrath. But it is a problem. But at the same time, it is a problem with the market that the president can't necessarily wave a magic wand and fix, that Congress can't wave a magic wand and fix. The supply chain needs to adjust to the increased demand that has come this year, and they've got to get over all these disruptions caused by COVID.
A simple thing that people can relate to. The president speaks, and for the fifth time, he refers to Vice President Harris as President Harris. That would suggest to people, is something wrong with this guy?
I mean, look, I've watched the president speak a lot this week. And does he slip up from time to time? Yes. Has he slipped up from time to time his entire career? I remember attending the opening of the Al D'Amato Courthouse out on Long Island, where Joe Biden was the keynote speaker when he was chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee back in like 2002. And he would slip up then. And I don't think anybody would think he had any problem.
Right,
that's Joe. He does.
Right,
it's Joe.
Give him that. But remember, and I thought this too, because I am not a pure Trumper. You know, I voted for independent candidates
for
the presidency.
Right.
I did not vote for Hillary. I did not vote for Joe Biden. But I thought with Joe Biden, wow, things are going to calm down. This guy's going to bring people together like he used to do in the cloakroom of the Senate, where he would have Southerners, Northerners, liberals, conservatives together. You know, they would sit down old style and work out their differences. I haven't seen any of that.
It goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show. We are so dug in, so divided. I don't know who's going to come across, right? I don't think it's for lack of trying. I mean, he got 10 senators on board from the other party for the infrastructure bill. He did do that.
All right.
But remember,
even under the Trump administration, everybody talk infrastructure. That's the one time.
But Biden got infrastructure done.
But that's the one time, remember, when the leaders of the House and Senate came, the Republican and Democrat, that Trump paid no attention, remember, at that time to his Republican leaders. He was making love with Schumer and Pelosi because saying this we can agree on, infrastructure. It never happened. You're right. It never happened. But that was the one magic word that seemed to bring together both sides. But in this particular instance, the speech he gave down in Atlanta, I said, right, this is like a call to war. This is like Trump in Arizona yesterday. We're still talking about how the election was stolen and that he wants new Republican leadership.
I'm going to give you a prediction. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act is not going to make it to a vote in the Senate this week. However, I do think that the Senate, within the next 30 days, will act on the Elections Control Act, which basically determines how you count the vote for presidency. They're going to clean it up because it needs to be cleaned up. And I think they're going to add a provision that Democrats will be happy about. I think they're going to add a provision that will require, if a state overturns a portion of the vote, that there needs to be a swift judicial review, and it will order the courts to turn it around very quickly. And I think that will satisfy a lot of Democrats. And this won't satisfy all of them, but it will satisfy many of them.
Well,
I
know
some real reform.
Former Vice President Pence and his wife, because he can't go anywhere.
Now mother.
Sitting in a courthouse.
You don't
somewhere.
Call your wife mother, right?
No.
Does she call you daddy?
Right? What are you trying to say,
granddaddy?
Right? Wait, no. Just because
she doesn't call you grandpa?
When we walk around in the streets, people come up to her.
Oh, what
Nancy.
Are you doing with your granddaughter?
Yeah, well, how is it being the daughter of Curtis Sliwa? But anyway, the point is, here's Pence saying, yeah, if it, they could have only taken it out of my purview, I wouldn't have had people outside with a hangman's noose wanting to hang me. Get the vice president out of this equation.
Right. I think they're gonna actually clarify that, saying the vice president is in a ceremonial role counting the votes. He doesn't actually have any power, idiot. 1-800-848-9222. George, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Mr. Han or Chris, I want to mention something. Once again, you made a grammatical blunder to be part of the conversation with Curtis and me, not I. Also, Curtis, you and Chris should slam each other, knock each other out of the ring. Don't kiss one another's butt, for heaven's sake.
Look, to everything, turn, man. But, you know, we're never going to slam each other to the ground here. We're going to disagree vehemently and hold our ground. But I don't think that... I think there's enough vitriol.
He wants it to be a blood sport.
He
wants blood sport.
He wants me to go grab your throat and then you throw a bike at me. And that, you know, we don't ever accomplish anything.
It's that famous scene in Raging Bull, right, when De Niro turns to the guy playing Sugar Ray Robinson. Hey, Ray, you didn't knock me down. Meantime, he's bleeding over. You didn't knock me down, Ray. That's what he wants.
Yeah, he wants us beaten and bloodied. And you know, here's the thing. He's not alone. And he's not alone. And that's the problem in this country. Everybody wants – I am not Curtis's enemy. Curtis is sometimes an opponent of mine, just like when I went and played sports, I had an opponent on the other side. I didn't hate him. I didn't want him to die in the game. I wanted to beat him.
Well, let me tell you something. You deflected early on by talking about how you were sitting in an audience that I had appeared in.
Well,
I
was introduced to you. This is Chris Hahn. He's the student body president. He gave me the whatever your fee was.
How the hell did they elect you student government president at Albany
University?
I was
on the football team. I was good looking.
You were a kicker.
But I had a lot of friends. You know, like I had a lot of friends. And you know.
Yeah, beer drinking friends.
And I've been in the student government my whole time at Albany.
Wow, you have politics flowing through your veins and arteries.
It is a life.
Were you that progressive?
Obsession.
Were you that liberal back then?
I was a registered Republican when I was student body president at the University of Albany.
Oh, my God.
Even as I worked on the Clinton campaign, I was registered because I needed a job out in Brookhaven.
You did a reverse Ronald Reagan.
1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222 to join Chris Hahn and Curtis Sliwa.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa. Come at you live from the greatest city on earth, New York.
What's that jam underneath you?
Should I stay or should I go?
Should I stay or should I go?
You like this song?
Yes.
It's a good song.
It obviously works right into what we're talking about today. But I got to ask you this.
Go ahead.
Everybody at MSNBC was for toots. They were happy. They were excited. To them, it was better than sex to see finally there was a charge of sedition.
Yes,
against
finally.
Those involved in January 6th.
Elmer Stuart Rhodes.
The leader of the Oath Keepers with the
black
eye patch.
Elmer Stuart Rhodes III, who graduate of, I think it was Yale Law School.
Yeah.
Yeah, leader of the Oath Keepers, who was stationing weapons to resupply his shock troops inside the Capitol on January 6th. He seems like a dangerous guy.
As a lawyer.
I do.
As Mr. ESQ Esquire.
I am an Esquire, as is your lovely wife.
That they did not find weapons on any of the Oath Keepers that...
None of them that were in the Capitol, no.
Walked in to the Capitol. It's a tough charge to prove to begin with.
It's a very tough charge.
Why do you think they went there since they hadn't pulled the trigger?
I think they have the information from the people they've already arrested that points to Elmer Rhodes. They have plenty of emails. I mean, they were reading his texts and his emails over the last couple
days. But you know
what
he's going to say? He's going to say, look, we were there in the Capitol. We were protecting Roger Stone. We were doing, quote, celebrity security. of the people, you know, who were followers of Donald Trump.
But they had a plan that after these people took the Capitol, under the cover of this riot that was going on there, to bring weapons in to reinforce them and then hold the Capitol until they got their way.
All right, but assuming—
Now, if that is true, which, you know, I mean, this is what their emails say. We're reading their emails now.
I know, but an email if it's versus true, action. Now,
and clearly, I don't believe that the Attorney General would have acted on this with just the emails. I am assuming that people who they have already arrested and charged are cooperating and have given him more information about this guy, emails and texts.
Or that they not only have confidential informers of people who were oath keepers or members of other groups that were there on January 6th who went into the Capitol, but that they had undercover FBI agents. Now, Ted Cruz was on the Hill the other day pounding somebody, I think, from the Department of Justice, FBI.
I don't pay attention to Ted Cruz anymore.
Well, you had to.
I've given up on that guy.
I understand.
He's the worst human being.
But
he's Reek.
He was asking
if you want to refer to him as Senator Reek, from the junior senator from Texas, Senator Reek.
Well, you're going to have to live with him because he said he's running again for the presidency of the United States.
Good luck, Teddy. Good luck.
But he did make a good point. He said, can you tell us if, in fact, you had undercover agents within the realms of these organizations and the person would not answer the question?
Well, why would they answer that? That's you know, this is a question that should not be done in public. This is, you know, you want to expose undercover informants so that they can, you know, their lives can be put in danger. They're doing a job here to try to shut these kind of, you know, seditious cults down.
Chris, agent provocateurs. How do we know that
I don't believe that they're agent provocateurs?
Who was in the Oath Keepers wasn't sort of priming them to say, bring your weapons. In fact, I got a stash right here. You're in D.C. You don't have to bring your own.
No.
We got a nice stash right here.
I don't think that that's what you're going to find. And I think that that's a nice, you know, fantasy on the far right. And I know you spend a lot of time, you know, listening to people on this station and other time
slots. No, I actually haven't. Remember, I grew up in the anti-war movement. I was involved in that. I saw how the
Which war was going on?
The Vietnam War.
Oh, the Vietnam War.
Yeah, remember, you weren't birthed yet.
World War One?
You weren't birthed yet.
It wasn't World War
One. Wasn't the Persian Gulf campaign?
You weren't opposed to the Archduke Ferdinand. No, it wasn't that.
You mean Woodrow Wilson, who said, elect me, we're not going to go to war. And the moment he got elected,
yeah,
the governor of New Jersey, the Democrat, he went
from Princeton.
War.
Yeah, no. Were you involved with that movie?
And if you notice, they've extricated any mention of Woodrow Wilson at Princeton or anywhere else. It's like he's persona non grata. Like he didn't exist.
Yeah, that's kind of hard.
But there is a comparison here.
Go ahead.
Woodrow Wilson, towards the end of his presidency,
he was out of it. His wife was running the country.
His wife was the shot caller.
Yeah.
Don't tell me.
She's the first female president.
Don't tell me Dr. Jill is going to be in that situation soon.
She's pretty smart, Dr. Jill.
I'm not calling it Dr. Jill. Just like I'm not calling Dr. Oz.
I think the reports of Joe Biden's demise have been greatly exaggerated. Like you, Curtis Sliwa, Joe Biden has lost a step in his old age. Okay? It's fine. He's got a young wife, too. Not as young as yours, but she's young enough.
And he married a doctor. But by the way, what kind of a doctor
she's
is
a doctor
she?
Of education.
So why do we have to call
your
a
wife
doctor?
Is a doctor of law.
No,
so am I.
She's never referred to herself as a doctor, and neither have you.
I've never have, though. Other than a few of my friends who got their PhDs, I was like, oh, you could call me. I have mine, too, technically. It's a terminal degree.
Remember, there was a talk show host, Savage, at that time, and he would always demand that you would refer to him as Dr. Savage.
Ugh.
Dr. Savage. And I said, what kind of a doctor are you? And you can never get a straight answer.
He was a lawyer.
I believe people who want you to call them doctors are tremendously insecure.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless
it's insecure.
Unless you're a medical doctor.
Oh, I understand that.
You know, you want to call them a medical doctor.
But Jill
right?
Biden is not a medical doctor. What kind of a doctor is she again?
She's a professor, though. You call professors doctor. It's just what you do.
I never heard
it's
of
one
that.
Of those
now,
things.
True, I never went to college like you.
Well, you went to a lot of colleges. I paid you to come
that's
to
right.
University
that's
of
right. I gave speeches.
Literally paid you.
Now, think of that. I'm the high school dropout. And they paid me honorariums, which, by the way, helped support the Guardian Angels back then when it was rough, when we were pounding the hound.
I had one wife at the time, so that money probably went far.
I'm trying to remember which
90s,
one.
It was in the 90s.
It was multiple at different times.
Early 90s, 93.
Trust me, none of it went for child support. I can assure you that. It
kidding.
Went to the maintenance
Not
of the Guardian
you know
Angels
of.
All over the country.
1-800-848-9222. Steve, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Hey, thank you. Hey, great talking to you. Hey, I love you, man. Curtis, I love you, pal. Hey, the guy you're talking to, Chris Hahn, does he actually believe it's far-fetched for the left to have somebody there steering people around? Is he actually believe it was an insurrection on the 6th?
I believe that the Oath Keepers had a plan to take over the Capitol and hold it. And they wanted to stop the vote count, which is sedition, period. And frankly, that's also terrorism, because the definition of terrorism is using threats or force to exert a political outcome. And that's what was going on there.
Now, speaking of organizations, the guy who's in charge of the Proud Boys released from Washington, D.C. jail, remember?
Yeah.
He had been incarcerated before January 6th for burning a Black Lives Matter flag on some church somewhere in Washington, D.C. You know, it's been suggested highly he's a confidential informant.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
I would not doubt it.
There's a big difference between a confidential informant and an agent provocateur. Mm. Let's be clear.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Confidential informants are people you got to flip who came, you know, who they were charged with something else. And said, all right, you got me. I'll give you somebody bigger than me if you let me
Mr.
off.
Mr. Big.
I'll give you the next guy up. Which, by the way, all of my liberal friends wondering why, you know, Mike Flynn or people or Rudy or somebody hasn't been charged. You got to go step by step. You can't just shoot for the top. You got to build a case. You got to bring in the lower level people who give you the middle level people who give you the upper level people. I think we're at the upper middle now.
We're going to get to the upper. Steve Bannon,
Roger Stone. Let me tell you this. I'm Roger Stone right now. I am shaking in my boots that they got this guy, Elmer. Okay, because this Elmer guy grew up pretty rich.
The eye patch man.
Don't let that eye patch fool you. He could afford a new eye if he really wanted to. He's very, very wealthy. Grew up wealthy.
Well spoken, too.
Yeah, and he went to Yale Law School. And let me tell you right now, he is going to flip on Roger Stone. Roger Stone's the next shoe to drop. He is.
What's the over-under point spread on that? Since betting is now legal in New York.
Over-under point spread, I'm going to say, let's say April 16th, right after the tax deadline. April 16th.
Did you let Mr. GQ know so he could get his fashionista look ready for his perp walk?
Is he going to show up dressed like the Penguin?
You have to acknowledge the guy is a fashionista.
He dresses like a comic book villain. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You think he's a fashionista?
He's a fashionista.
I'm sorry. You dress better than him, and trust me, you've been wearing the same thing since 1975.
Red beret, red sateen jacket.
Right. You've got a better look than
he does.
But
he actually puts out a list every year, away from politics, of the fashion looks, and he grades them, and he's pretty damn good at that.
I have never made that list.
Yeah, and you never will.
No. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. If you want to be part of the national conversation, Martin, you're on with Curtis and Chris. Martin.
Hey, guys. I got so much to say. Let me say, Biden, the demented puppet, don't popping pills Biden. I think we should listen to him when he says President Harris, because he really means it. Like, it's not just a mistake. He's telling you that Harris is running the show.
Well, let me ask you something, Martin. How does that make you feel to have an African-American woman, younger than you, I would imagine, based on what I'm hearing in your voice, as president of the United States? How would that make you feel? You're on with Dr. Chris right now.
Yeah,
Martin.
I won't talk to communists.
Won't talk to communists? Okay.
Question. He mentioned...
I'm not a communist, by the way. And by the way, Martin, I don't know anything about you, but I guarantee you I'm a better capitalist.
I took umbrage to what Martin said, not about his description of Biden and Harris.
Right.
Doan's pills. He suggested that the president was on Doan's pills.
Yeah.
I have suggested that America needs to get back to taking Doan's pills, which you took for pain relief. Non-addictive, unlike what the Purdue family did with the Oxys. They should have been all thrown in jail.
Look, no more Oxy, no more Percocet.
Doan's pills.
Yeah, have yourself a little Johnson's baby aspirin.
Do you realize in the heartland of America, where my father was from, Chicago, and all the travels I went through the Midwest, when I had pains and strains, I was directed immediately into the little local mom-and-pop pharmacy and told, get Doan's pills. And it always worked.
You grew up in the heartland of America?
Traveled through the heartland. Remember, the Rust Belt.
Wait a minute.
The Rust Belt.
I always think of you as this kid growing up in Queens, you know, chasing down
Brooklyn.
A subway.
Brooklyn,
whatever.
Queens is weak.
You know, Brooklyn and Queens, it's the same ticket
no,
from Long
no,
Island.
No, it's
My
not.
Parents grew up in Brooklyn. But you're telling me there's a portion of your life when you were like out there
organizing,
you
know,
on the grain, in the grain as a kid.
Yeah. A kid. I visited my family in Lockport, Illinois, which was between.
That when you, were you like summer in the city? It was like you were the Fresh Air Fund kid. You were out there.
Well, no. The Sliwa compound. They used to live in the south side of Chicago, like a lot of people.
They
moved
compound.
Out into the farm areas where they had the subdivisions.
They didn't sell that compound to a guy named Elmer, did
no,
they?
No. They were, all the Sliwas there. They had the guns. They had the hot rod. Right. You know, they had drinking beer, the whole nine yards. And the fact is that that's where I first came across tornadoes. That's where my grandfather Anton said, "Hey, it's time to hit the basement. The tornadoes are coming." And I saw it in the distance, the twister.
And now they come here. They come right to New York City.
And that's
City.
Where I slopped the hogs for the first time. You know, I took all the scraps, Polish table.
Is that
table.
What you call going out for a night with the angels, slopping
exactly,
the hogs?
Exactly, slopping the hogs, the kielbasa, the pierogi leftovers.
Right, right.
And I learned a lot. The pig is a smart animal.
It is a smart animal. It is. What do you think about this guy getting a pig heart? Have you heard this?
I heard that, the pig heart. What about the comfort animal,
the potbelly pig,
100 pounds? They want to evict the guy because of his comfort animal.
No, that's not nice. They should be nice to the pot. The pigs are cleaner than dogs. 1-800-848-9222. Let me go to Nick. You're on with Curtis and Chris. Nick.
Hey, so I'm, trade is definitely – I'm –
we got to get
he's flummoxed.
Nick.
No,
Nick.
Nervous.
I'm going to leave. I'm not going to hang up on you yet, Nick, but I'm going to let you regroup for a second. Okay. This is a professional radio show. We are syndicated. We are a good group of people having a conversation.
Let me explain.
Don't be nervous.
Let me explain.
Go ahead.
He's watching football.
Yeah.
He's multitasking.
He's multitasking.
Listening to us.
Yep.
Turns the volume down on TV. And his team is losing now. So he's wondering where he's going to come up with the money. How's he going to pay his bookie?
You're watching the Tampa Bay game. So what's on your mind, Nick?
We actually consume the same thing from time to time. Like, what are you, overeating? Like, increased demand?
Everybody thinks this is easy, right? Everybody thinks that radio is easy. Like, everybody thinks they can do this. You know that? Everybody I know. When I tell them I'm doing radio, I've been doing this now. I've been doing radio since I was in college, on and off, since I was in college. I've always done radio. Love it.
So
you've been doing radio forever, too. But doesn't everybody think this is easy? Doesn't everybody say, give me a radio show?
Look,
oh, can you introduce me to the people over at WABC so that they can give me a radio show?
You've done Talk TV. I've done Talk TV. Right. I've actually hosted it.
Me too.
You've hosted it.
Yep.
And you've hosted Talk Radio. I've done that for over 30 years, Talk Radio. It is much easier to do Talk TV because it's scripted.
And it's 4 minutes.
It's teleprompter.
Time.
You don't really have much time to get an opinion in. This is like stand-up comedy. It's improv.
Yeah, it's improv, baby. Go take a class at the Upright Citizens Brigade before you call
it
my show.
Theater of the Mind.
Exactly. 1-800-848-9222. Chris Hyde, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. The 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5 p.m.
Well, you got to stick with us because we're going to be talking about a guy who's a baby boomer suing his mother, who's 82.
Unbelievable.
Because she has two of his most desired baseball cards.
Yeah. I think I should have sued my mother for throwing my baseball cards out, like most Americans.
And she goes, she's alerted by the news. You know, your son is suing you. He's what? She has a Ralph Kiner 1953 Topps card and a Satchel Paige. Now, that's
a big,
good one.
Big time card,
1953, and she says, no, he gave it to me. I'll tell you what, I'll bequeath it to his children.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give it to him.
He's 80. All he had to do was wait a couple of months.
Oh, my God.
Give me a break. What is wrong with this guy?
Oh, and then we have to talk about Amy Schneider.
Oh,
the transvestite that America has fallen in love with.
Transgender, do not say that other one. That's not how
you
do it anymore.
I'm so confused. Transgender.
It's transgender or trans.
You'll have to explain the difference to me coming up.
It's the offensiveness of it. I mean, it was a offensive term.
And then, obviously, the trans swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania who has declared herself to be the Jackie Robinson of transgenders?
I mean, maybe if she's played shortstop for the Mets.
Now she is not well received, and yet Amy Schneider is not only well received.
She's great.
People are saying, wow, she's a player.
I'm an avid Jeopardy watcher. I don't watch it every night, but I try to watch it as often as I can. And when there's a streak like the one she's on, I try to watch it all the time.
Now,
I'm wondering who's going to beat
her. You know, game shows have been accused of fixing results in payola years ago, especially in the 50s. Huge, huge controversy. What would suggest that if you're running Jeopardy with a just tremendous collateral. So many Americans who disagree, they like Trump, they like Biden, they sit at night like you do
and they
watch
Jeopardy.
That they'd make sure that they put in some tomato cans in there so she can continue this.
You know, look, she is dominating these opponents. Even when it looks like in the beginning of the show you're going to have a real challenge, by the end of the show, the people you think are going to challenge her have the same dollars they had 2 minutes into the show. But she's still got to answer the questions, right? She's got to answer, you know, dozens of questions
every night.
She's
like the comeback kid.
She's
like Tom Brady.
Every night, I feel like she just picks her spot, and then she gets going. And once she gets going, she's like a freight train. You cannot stop her.
Now, you know, Aaron Rodgers played the role of what Ken Jennings is doing now.
Yeah.
How was he? I mean, put aside the fact that you don't like him because he's an anti-vaxxer.
I watched the Aaron Rodgers series on Jeopardy. I watched he hosted for like 2 weeks, and I enjoyed it. This is pre-knowing that he was, you know, a Joe Rogan medicine follower. But I enjoyed it. I thought he was good at that.
Wow.
I thought Mayim Bialik, who is still hosting from time to time on Jeopardy, I thought she did a pretty good job, too. Oh.
But Ken Jennings.
Blossom,
Ken
if you
Jennings.
Will. I'm not.
You're not a Jennings
I'm not
fan.
Loving Ken Jennings now.
Yeah, but a player becomes the host.
Yeah, I mean, he's the all-time.
I mean, isn't that a dream
player.
Come true?
Yeah.
I mean, look how many people in talk radio were callers.
Yeah.
Constant callers.
Yep.
Then were given an opportunity. You know, they won a contest.
Like one or two of them.
Right. Be a host or hostess for the day. And they
Joe
went on.
Joe Beningo.
Right. To get a regular gig.
Right. Right.
So, come on. I want you to rethink this. And why is it that Jeopardy has basically consumed you? What is it about Jeopardy that America loves?
Well, we like the testing of your knowledge, right? We like to challenge ourselves. I like to compete. I told you this about me. I like watching competition. I like being in competition. That's why I'm drawn to politics, because politics is a constant competition, right? I think competition is what makes America great. I think that's what capitalism is about.
Now, I think this was before your time, before you were birthed, because I'm a boomer. I'm a baby boomer.
You are.
The other
That's
Sunday
you claim
show
to be a baby boomer.
The other Sunday show was the College Bowl.
Yes.
So they would have a team like MIT versus Carnegie Institute of Technology.
I was on the College Bowl team at the University
you
of
were.
Auburn. Yeah. I was.
Wow, you were a brainiac.
I was on the College Bowl team and at my high school, at Center Reach High School.
Unbelievable.
I was in high school. Yeah. Well,
so wait a second, you were a football player who only was a kicker. That makes sense now. You were a member of the College Bowl team, the high school bowl team. Now, how did you? So there's like four people, right?
Right.
Per side. Who took the lead? Who determined who was going to be the number one brainiac who led the team?
There was a coach on the team. But generally speaking, you buzzed in. And you buzzed in individually, just like Jeopardy.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
So
there's four people.
You could
that can
actually,
buzz in.
Quote, trump your fellow members by hitting the buzzer before them.
Yes, you could trump before them, yeah. It's funny. I have a broad range of useless information stuck in my head.
Yeah, but wait a second. I remember watching Harvard versus Yale, the big battle. Somehow,
like
Albany University.
Albany versus Binghamton.
Troy.
Yeah. Albany versus Union College. It's always fun.
It didn't make the classic College Bowl
list.
No.
We never were televised on our College Bowl.
Did you feel pressure, though? Pressure to perform?
No, I had fun. I enjoyed it.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it.
I looked at a lot of those young people. They look stressed out, man.
I don't stress. Look, I can't do math. Don't ask me any
You know why
questions.
They don't have this any longer, College
Bowl?
They
still bowl? Have it.
They
it's
do?
Peyton Manning was hosting it on national television
I had no
a couple
idea.
Months ago. Yeah.
Are they all Asians now who compete?
Yeah.
stop.
But they're the advanced students.
Stop.
Oh, maybe they capped him. Maybe they put a quota.
No, there's no quota. Stop it.
Come on, give them their due.
I'm trying to
save
you.
So well.
I don't want you to be canceled before our show gets picked up in 50 markets.
I'm giving them props.
I got to have to find it. You know,
I'm giving them
praise. There are very few people that have red berets that I could just stick
in there.
By
the way, I mentioned that because in today's newspapers in New York City, it talks about how I won the Asian vote against Eric Adams, who was featured on Saturday Night Live last night.
I don't know how you – I didn't see Saturday Night Live yet, so don't give it up. I'm going to watch it when I get home tonight. But it you won the Asian vote. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I won the Asian vote across the city of New York.
I have the right. I'm going
to
have to look at that.
To talk about.
I have a feeling you're embellishing here. You might have won a specific category of Asians.
No. That shocked the world. In fact,
I am shocked. I'm going to look at these numbers. We're going to talk about it.
Congressman Meng, right, leader of the Asian caucus, said, holy blankety blank blank. He took us.
1-800-848-9222.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222.
You know, it's hearing the promo because tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes.
And we will hear from a plethora of Democrats, some Republicans, who will say, if Martin Luther King were alive today, he would have said this. I mean, he was executed back in 1968. So many things have changed.
The first thing he would say is, what is this box you're carrying around?
Exactly. But more importantly is, how can you extrapolate? What are you channeling, Martin Luther King in heaven? Are you suddenly saying this is what he would? This is the position he would have taken.
That is a political thing that has been around since the, you know, dawn of humanity, dawn of politics in this country. Well, I'm sure Senator Marcus Aurelius would probably say, if Caesar was alive today.
I know, but you think of those dates, those times and places that you will never forget. April 4th of 1968 at the Lorraine Motel. He was on the balcony.
Yep.
Shot by James Earl Ray. Never trust anybody with three names.
No.
And then,
like Elmer Stewart Rhodes.
Right. Never trust anybody with three names. But remember, James Earl Ray ended up escaping from prison. He went to Canada. He went to... That, to me...
Somebody let him out.
I know, but that, to me, was the one conspiracy that really has never been probed. We've talked about JFK, Harvey Oswald, Donald Trump, the candidate, was saying, hey, I just read in the National Enquirer that Ted Cruz's father, the pastor, aided and abetted Oswald in killing Kennedy. I didn't say it. I'm reading it in the National Enquirer. Remember the warning of the Indiana primary?
I didn't say it. Just the guy who's like my best friend who I told to put that on the cover of the Enquirer, he put it on the Enquirer. Now I'm going to tell you about it.
I am predicting tomorrow in all the litany of presentations that will be made in his honor, people will be suggesting that Martin Luther King Jr. would have supported their agenda.
By the way, a lot of people call into this show and say Martin Luther King said a white liberal was more dangerous than a conservative. That is not what he said. I looked and looked.
Can you correct it?
Yeah. He said a white moderate who is more interested in order is more dangerous to my cause than a conservative who at least I know where they stand.
Oh, you mean like Scoop Jackson?
Right. He was actually writing a letter back to a coalition of ministers in the South who were asking him. They said, we support your movement, but we don't think now is the time. And that's what he was responding to. A lot of people, I don't know which conservative talk show host bastardized that statement.
Oh, come on. You know what happens. Somebody says it, and then all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own.
It's got a life of its own,
it's always,
but it's not the truth.
Martin Luther King Jr. said this, and then you say, that was before 1968, before his assassination.
Yeah.
Not only that, but times have changed. We don't know what this man would have said about circumstances. Who thought that he was going to be against the Vietnam War, that he put all of his cred on being against the war? I remember, because I was opposed to the war.
Yeah.
I said, wow, this is a heavyweight coming on board. Because remember, before that, it was hippy dippies, you know. And then all of a sudden, Martin Luther King Jr. was against the war. And a lot of other people began to take note.
Yeah.
I was there in 1972, the inauguration of Richard Nixon. My first vote was for George McGovern, the peace candidate who didn't even win. He won South Dakota. That was it, his home
state. He might have won like one precinct in Lower Manhattan.
There was a million of us in D.C. protesting.
Yeah.
They had the National Guardsmen out, but it was no 24-hour news cycle. A million people. The guy crushed McGovern. And the only thing that took him out was Watergate.
Amazing.
Watergate.
1-800-848-9222. Steve, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
All right, guys. It's the big cat. If I went, they'd give me the building. Now, listen, you guys are so darn lucky that Pat Buchanan did not become president, because you're both really to the left, and he would have put into place things in the federal government. He would have pulled race quotas out by the roots, would have had you guys going crazy. He would have put the military on the border. And there's a lot of other things he would have done. Deportations would have happened. No one's talking about
I don't
about
understand why we're talking about a guy who ran for president in the 1980s, didn't win.
Nobody really.
And we're lucky
it.
He didn't win.
He rocked Bush 41's world.
Yeah, he killed him. Knocked him out.
More importantly, I don't consider him a conservative. I consider his
reactionary
sister a conservative. He was more, though, of a populist. And remember, nowadays, that term has been co-opted by Steve Bannon, many people on the right. But he rocked Bush 41's world, probably led to Bush losing, because in many ways, Pat Buchanan and Ross Perot had a lot of the same belief system.
It's always if a incumbent president has a serious primary challenge, even if he beats that challenge back, they usually want
Jimmy Carter. Remember Ted Kennedy?
Exactly.
Why are you running for
Jimmy
president?
Jimmy Carter,
Ted.
George Herbert Walker.
Remember that famous question? Right. Ted Kennedy, why are you running for president? Because I'm a Kennedy.
Exactly.
I'm supposed to do this.
What a Derek.
By
well,
way,
I'm trying to distract you from my other things. Yep.
Third party.
Anderson.
Look, if in fact things work out that it's round two, the heavyweight battle, Trump wins the GOP nomination. Somehow Hillary is elevated, resurrected, and wins round two.
Yeah.
What an opportunity for a third party.
Jesse the Body Ventura, President of the United States. 1-800-848-9222. Bob, you're on with Curtis and Chris. Bob.
Hey, guys. That's exactly what my comment was going to be about, a potential third party candidate. Because for somebody who never even considered Trump seriously, back 16, it was like, I can't believe he's being nominated. And then on top of it, I think the Democrats have just become nuts with Bernie and the squad, and even Biden's just gone wackadoo. That, can you imagine in 2024, if you had Donald Trump, let's say, against Elizabeth Warren on a stage, why wouldn't that give an opportunity for a credible third-party candidate who has a brain and some common sense to have at least a chance to feed off these wackadoos that
That's a good question for you, Curtis. I mean, before you sold out and hitched a ride to the Republicans here in the city to get a quick ballot placement to get on the mayoral ballot, you were the chair of the Reform Party of the state of New York, which I guess was the Independence Party at one point, or are they
different? No, just the Reform Party.
Yeah.
Different, though, than the Reform Party that had been started by Ross Perot.
Right.
I got to tell you, I loved it. Because all the party people would come and kiss your tuchus, so you would endorse them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would tell you whatever.
It's gone now, though, the Reform Party.
Well, yeah. Andrew Evil Eyes almost wiped out most of the third parties. But I remember being at the Marriott Hotel in the gateway to the World Times Square.
Yep.
And there was the former New Mexico governor, Gary Johnson, 2016.
Gary Johnson.
With Weld, who was running as his vice president.
Did you ask
candidate.
Him about Aleppo?
No, he hadn't had that slip up yet.
Right.
He came out. He was impressive. Weld, who had been governor of Massachusetts,
right,
who took it to Romney, he had been impressive. And remember, in the polls, he was rising up because a lot of people were not satisfied either with Trump or Hillary in 2016. And then he failed the National Geographic test.
Yeah.
He couldn't figure out Aleppo. Then there was another. And then he looked like he had been doing too much puff, puff, pass.
Well, he probably was.
Smoking ropes of dope. And he crashed and he burned.
I met him when he was governor of New Mexico. Met him in a green room at Fox in like 2011. And I did. I thought he was a sharp guy. He was a Republican at the time.
Yes.
And I thought he was going to seek the Republican nomination for president. And then he later, of course, became a Libertarian. I do think that there is room in this country for
remember, the guy who was like a meteor in the Democratic primary, Andrew Yang, you know, guaranteed income.
Oh, forget that guy.
Well, you just started a new independent party, the Forward Party.
Yeah.
Look, if it turns out to be Trump and Hillary again, there's going to be a move for a valid third party candidate who could take it to
him. It's the only thing I think that can actually force a third party. If you have those two baby boomer, I mean, Hillary's a baby boomer. Donald Trump is like even pre-baby boomer. It's not even baby boomer.
You mean like a Joe Biden?
Yeah, Biden is pre-baby. They're too old.
You mean like a
Nancy
Pelosi?
They're not even baby boomers.
Okay. You mean like Grassley?
Yeah, they're too old.
Like Feinstein.
You'd get a Gen Xer on a third party line, and maybe you have something going on there. Because I've been clear.
I don't know if he couldn't run for president because he was born in South Africa. Elon Musk.
Oh, stop.
No, but he is a free agent. You really don't know where he is
in
a lot
politics.
Of issues.
No, you know, and people think they know it, and they try to pursue
so
it.
So one of these crypto-crazy monsters might emerge because, you know, they get instant billionaires.
I believe this. I believe that Joe Biden should be our last president who's either a baby boomer or whatever generation he's from. We need to go moving on now. We need to have a Gen Xer. Millennial.
I tell you, MoveOn.org failed.
Well, MoveOn.org was about the Clinton impeachment. It was a long. It lasted like 20 years.
Oh, and
people
they were
forget.
Powerful.
It lasted for 20. It was about
I was in Green Bay speaking to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers who might get in the Super Bowl. I was in Green Bay organizing Guardian Angels. And they were all over the place.
Yeah.
They were going door to door. They were aggressive. They had boots on the ground. What the hell ever happened to them? MoveOn.org.
They got swept up by the Bernie bros.
Oh, my wife is a Bernie.
Right.
Bro.
They got swept
Nancy.
Up by the Bernie movement.
But
Bernie movement fizzled out, and now they're gone.
Think of my wife, Nancy. She was such an intense Bernie bro. She went to Philadelphia when she believed that the DNC robbed Bernie of his opportunity to be the presidential candidate because.
Were you there with her?
No.
But she went solo.
She went there solo. And then because of that, because she felt that with the superdelegates, they robbed Bernie and gave it to Hillary.
Yeah, why let people who've been active in the party forever have a vote? I never understood why they hated
the superdelegates.
But remember,
Bernie was surging.
Oh, you mean you're a House of Representatives member and you've spent 30 years in the Democratic Party? Oh, let's let some kid who just carried a petition for Bernie have the same amount of votes
but
as you.
I believe that like my wife, who was so far to the left with Bernie.
Right.
And then she voted for Trump.
That's crazy.
In that election in 2016,
yeah,
I think some of the Bernie bros
were so
burned by what they felt the DNC did for Hillary. That at that time, remember, Trump was like this fresh voice. It wasn't exactly like Bernie, but it was an American firster voice like Bernie the Altacaca Sanders.
Yeah, well, look, I think there needs to be a new voice in this country. I am tired.
I agree with you because I'm not a Trumper.
Right.
I think we look to Governor DeSantis in Florida.
Stop.
That's a new voice.
Stop.
Oh, he's nailed it. No mandates, no masks.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's going to
Florida. He got COVID. He went underground for 20 days.
Oh, wait
must
a second.
Have been a bad case of
Hold
COVID.
On a second.
Yeah.
Why does everybody...
He's done, by the way.
Why does everybody...
I have a feeling that this year he will be beaten in Florida.
You see what his Democratic opponent called him.
What'd they call him?
Hitler.
I call him Death Santis.
But do you realize you never used the Hitler
term? No, I don't like Hitler. He has multiple Democratic opponents right now.
Yeah, but
Was it Charlie Crist that said that?
It was the female.
Nikki Freed.
The female.
And there's a third person who's a state senator from South Florida, a Latina, who I would like to see more of because I quite frankly think the Democrats need to be nominating.
What happened to his adversary who barely lost, who was from, Gainesville?
Yeah.
The meth head.
What happened
to him?
I think he's done. I think his political career is over.
He had meth in his tuchus. What the hell was that?
I mean, he was depressed. You've lost elections. You know how tough that can be.
I understand that.
And he actually had money and lost by 3/10 of a point.
Oh, he lost. And you remember what
I mean, it wasn't like yours where they're like, hey, Curtis, you knew you were going to lose when you got the nomination. And that's why you didn't respond to Chris's email about doing a radio show in November.
What jammed this young African-American candidate who was like skyrocketing on the national mindset was he got free tickets to Hamilton. Remember? And they said, you didn't pay for those
tickets. Oh, my God. How dare you take those tickets?
It was a quid pro
quo.
You're
destroyed. Your whole reputation
that
is over.
That became the big issue that he had accepted.
That's the problem.
That's how valuable those Hamilton tickets were.
I paid through my nose for those tickets. I'll be quite honest with you. I went twice. I'm still paying those tickets off. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Saul. How you doing, Saul?
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And
was he going to say something crazy?
What was he? John Adams or Sam Adams?
I don't know which Adams.
Which one is the beer?
Sam Adams is the
all right,
beer.
But that's the Sons of Liberty, right?
Right,
Sam,
right, right.
Not
they're
John
related,
Adams.
They're brothers.
The vice president. And not Quincy Adams, right?
John Adams was actually president.
I get so confused with all those Adams. Because, you know, I ran against Eric Adams from AM.
Yeah,
so,
Eric and the Adams family,
exactly.
Which is a fantastic TV show.
It brings back Surest. In Yiddish, that's what they say, Surest.
Was it the hardest thing was, like, after you lost, him saying what a great guy you are? That would really bother
Well, we've
me.
Known each other for 40 years.
Yeah,
except during the campaign. He's a racist. He's a liar, buffoon, a clown. After the election, he wins. Oh, he's a great guy. I've known him for 40 years.
1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Lee, we're with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800. 848-9222, Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa.
Now, Chris, in your life and time as a lawyer with Esquire attached to your name, you've been in criminal court?
I have.
You've been in civil court?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Impaneled is a jury of 6.
Yeah.
And 6 alternates who are going to hear a case in Manhattan State Supreme Court before the judge in the black regal robes. It is a unique case. I don't think there's anything comparable. A boomer like me.
Yes.
Is suing his mother, who's 82.
Amazing.
A former lawyer herself.
Yes.
She's retired. Simply because she has 2 of his Topps baseball cards that he had. 1953 Ralph Kiner.
Amazing.
When he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And a 1953 Satchel Paige. After he was allowed finally into Major League Baseball for the Cleveland
Indians.
Yeah, he
was, I think, the oldest rookie in the history of Major League Baseball.
By the way, do you know who hit their first home run off of Satchel Paige, who was pitching for the Cleveland Indians at that time? One of the greatest baseball players of all times.
I'm going to say Joe DiMaggio.
Close. The guy who replaced Joe DiMaggio. My man, number 7, Mickey Mantle.
Mickey.
Although he was a total degenerate and a drunk.
Yeah, but he was a good guy.
Oh, so disappointing when I met him. You know, I got a chance to meet all 3 of these iconic athletes in my lifetime. Joe DiMaggio, who was hawking at that time for Mr. Coffee, retired. Willie Mays, Say Hey Willie, who was living in the Bronx at the time. And Mickey Mantle, who had a gin joint in a restaurant on Central Park South. They were the 3 most miserable people I've ever come across. They acted like they had a cloud over their head.
It's horrible.
People would part like the Red Sea for Moses, and they were constantly negative.
I don't understand that. You know, I met Derek Jeter. He was wonderful. Like, it was like the nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Eli Manning. Fantastic.
No, no. These guys were, and don't ever ask them for an autograph. It was like asking Bill Russell in basketball or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for an autograph. It said, get out of my face. Kid.
Rusty Staub did a charity auction for me once. He was fantastic.
Oh, Rusty Staub. I remember him.
Rusty.
Can I go through memory lane?
Yeah.
He started out with the Houston Colts. Young Huckleberry, right? Great hitter. Then he went to Montreal, right? Played for Montreal. Then, naturally, he came to the New York Mets where you began to love him. The guy, he could get off the bench. He could be sleeping on the bench. He could be 20 degrees below zero. The guy was a phenomenal.
He was a hit machine.
Yeah, but a pinch hitter.
Couldn't run, though.
No. Couldn't run. Couldn't really feel
I remember
well.
Last year of his career, the Mets were in some game where it went into, like, 18 or 19 innings, and they had to put him out in right field.
You know who the Mets traded him to in order to get the Donut King at the time, Mickey Lolich, great pitcher for the Detroit Tigers.
Did they do that?
They traded him to the Detroit Tigers to get Mickey Lolich, who bombed here in New York. Yeah. Like so many others who come here.
Unbelievable.
I went down memory lane right now.
But yeah, let's talk about this woman getting sued by her son.
All right, so he wants the two cards back.
Right. She's 80, in her 80s.
Right. Now, she is hermetically sealed. Them, she's met the specs, you know, of what you have to do if all of a sudden you want to auction them off, because there's a whole science involved with that. And apparently a curator has said each of those cards would be valued at $30,000 if you tried to sell them at auction.
And by the way, I'm looking at a picture of his mom. She doesn't look 82 to me.
She's 82.
She's that looks like 82 to
look,
you?
Look, this is COVID. You know, she's all...
Yeah, she's masked up.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
She's 82. Imagine this. What a miserable this guy is to sue
unbelievable.
His mother.
First of all, every man in America wants to sue their mom because they threw out their baseball cards. His mom actually saved his baseball cards.
Excuse me.
Can't you work it out?
We want to sue our mother-in-laws more so than our mothers. I could see you were not a mama Luke.
You would be in court a lot with multiple mother-in-laws.
Exactly. Right? But you were not a mama Luke, right? You were not a mama's boy.
I was not a mama's boy.
See, that's because...
And I'm the oldest son of an Italian mother, which is weird for me not to be a mama's boy.
Yes, because Italians and Jews, they're all mama Lukes. Yeah. Mom can do no wrong.
Well, we had four kids in my family, right? And we were dirt poor the entire time.
Excuse me.
So all
Italian families, 8, 10, 12.
Well, there were four of
us. They didn't believe in birth control.
We couldn't afford one of us, and there were four of us. Government cheese poor, right? Ooh. EOP program to go to SUNY. No joke. Because I couldn't afford the applications. Although
a white guy, and you qualified for that.
Yeah, I did.
That's incredible.
I did a 6-week summer session for the EOP.
So you used to have constipation eating all that government cheese.
No, it was actually pretty good. It was like Velveeta.
Velveeta.
It wasn't bad. I enjoyed the government cheese.
What, two pieces of white bread, Velveeta?
Yeah, a little Velveeta, grilled cheese or something.
Okay,
never had butter, always had margarine. So now if you come to my house.
Now you get a crown on your head, Mazzola.
You come to my house now, all I do is cook with butter. I'm like
I
a butter king.
I despise
so do
margarine.
I don't ever want to look at it anymore because we never could afford butter.
Okay, so now, but I believe you had baseball cards. Like
I did. Because I had a paper route, and I would save my money up. I'd buy baseball cards.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go off to college, and I come home, and they're
now,
gone.
Let me ask you a question. All right. So you're delivering Newsday.
Newsday, baby.
Out in Long Island. You're saving, you know, if they paid you on Friday, because, you know, they're always trying to
stiff
you.
They did. They would pay.
So you go out and you get the new Topps group of cards. Did they come in a little package of multiple
they
cards?
They come in a little package.
With the gum.
With some gum in it, yeah.
Right, so the dentist delight, because the gum was the worst gum
you
ever had.
It's a hardened stick of gum.
Right, and it would get into every crevice
of
your
teeth. It was delicious, though.
And the next thing you knew, you had a cavity and you had to spend all kinds of money at the dental office. But you were looking for the limited edition cards.
Yeah, you wanted that Ricky Henderson rookie card.
Because Topps knew, I'll give you all the scrubs. I'll give you the guys who've been traded.
Yeah.
I'll give you the guys who...
Where's my Don Mattingly card?
Right. And very few.
Right, very few.
And this is what they did with Satchel Paige, and this is what they did with Ralph Kiner, who at that time was a home run hitting king for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who went on to become the broadcaster for the New York Mets.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Why, I mean, if I'm on a jury, because I've gone through a civil case in which a co-conspirator for the World Trade Center blast in 1992, you remember, the blind-eyed cleric wearing the Santa Claus hat, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the evil one, this guy was advising him. So he sues me for something that I said publicly, suing me for like $6 million. And the jury heard the case, took him 5 minutes to dismiss.
Right. How it even made it to a jury, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even believe they listened to the case. I think it was jury nullification.
Right.
They saw me. They saw him. He looked like he was part of Al-Qaeda. It was over. They didn't want to listen to him.
Over.
In this case, I would think it might be a case of jury nullification. The jury's looking at this guy. You would sue your freaking mother? What do you think? She's Mommy Dearest?
I don't know how anybody can sue their mother, even if you have a horrible relationship with your mother. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, but then she says, look, you won't even let me see my grandchildren. I'm going to bequeath these two cards to your grandchildren.
I think there's deeper problems here, Curtis. I don't think it's about the baseball.
All right, but whatever happened to your collection of baseball cards?
They're gone. I don't know. My brother, who, God rest his soul, probably sold them, or my mother threw them out.
And she wouldn't tell you she threw them out.
They were never to be seen again. Let's just put it that way. My father, to this day, sometimes on my birthday will send me packs of baseball cards that he finds online from the 80s, and I don't open them.
Now, so, Topps Baseball Card Company had one factory, one facility in Jersey City right before you reach the Holland Tunnel. Armed guards, you talk about stop and frisk. As an employee with the printing press, they would stop and frisk you coming in, and especially leaving.
They don't want you taking out their goods. 1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa, coming back.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. The 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Frank. Hey, Frank, you're on with Chris Hahn and Curtis Sliwa.
Hello.
Hello.
How's everybody doing? All right. Well, you mentioned that you got to be careful with people with three names. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, three names.
Leave her alone.
Or as I call her, AOC All Out Crazy.
Stop it. What else, Frank?
With the Puerto Rican girl who was killed by this animal at Burger King. She's Puerto Rican, this the victim. And why is AOC suddenly silent on this girl? AOC is Puerto Rican.
I love it when people have different things that they want to, like, talk about. I thought this guy was going to ask you a question, and I wanted to know the answer to this question.
What was the question?
He was going to ask you if you were ever on the Morton Downey Jr. show, somebody with three names. He started out with that, but then he decided, I guess, while he was listening to us for the last 45 minutes, that he got mad about AOC for some reason.
A regular guest on the Morton Downey Jr. show, which was at the Superstation. Yeah. Yeah, two Superstations.
WWOR.
Right, but WGN in Chicago was the first.
Right.
That's why everybody would see Cub games, and they would see Harry Carey drunk, you know, singing, "Take me out to the ball game." And then Channel 9 Secaucus, which the featured evening program that you could see all across the nation was the Morton Downey Jr. show. There was one episode I was on. This was a classic. You got to go to YouTube.
I'm going
to
look.
Curtis Sliwa versus Ron Paul, congressman of Texas, who was running for the presidency as an independent candidate.
For the first time of 25 times, probably.
I mean, we got it on.
Huh.
We got it because, you know, he was like his son, really
crazy.
More of a libertarian.
Yeah. He's a libertarian, but not really even that
right?
They're just like, they got wacky ideas for America, the two of them.
Yeah, but at that time he was promoting smoking the wacky tobacco, which was not very popular.
I was for that. I'm not for smoking it, but I'm for decriminalizing it.
Yeah, no. Back then, remember, we're talking back
the 80s.
Then.
We're talking, this is the 80s.
That's right.
Right.
You would thought still to be a burned out hippie, you know, from Haight-Ashbury or the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, having gone to Woodstock.
Everybody who's saying that about the other people who want to legalize it, they're smoking weed, but they just get it from their dealer.
Exactly.
Right? That's what always made me
or
crazy.
Or they have the Pope of Greenwich Village. That's who they got from. But anyway, they're having their edibles now.
Right, yeah.
Did you have your cookie?
Now they go to their designer weed supplier. And they get a specific strain.
Exactly.
Right. It's just all the same.
Have you ever been in a pot shop?
No, I have.
Guardian Angels in Denver and Colfax. They're like the size of Walmart.
I have never been in a pot
Oakland,
shop.
Oakland, downtown Oakland at Jack Murphy Square. There is like, my God, you see every bud that has been grown hydroponically.
I never been in a pot shop, but a while back I was advising a pot company from Colorado that were trying to come to New York, and they were looking for a place to grow, and they were staying in Manhattan, and they're like, oh, can you meet us at the Riverhead Airport? Can you meet us out in Riverhead? I go, yeah, I'll meet you out in Riverhead. When are you guys going to leave? They're like, yeah, we're leaving now. We'll see you in 20 minutes. I'm like, what do you mean you'll see me in 20 minutes? Oh, we're taking the chopper. That's how much money they
Not only the chopper.
I was like, I was in Garden City at the moment, and I was like,
but
you're going to be there in 20 minutes.
Out there, remember you have, what is that, Block Island?
Yep.
They used to fly in there with prop planes, drop duffel bags of pot, and then take off. You
now,
know,
how do you know this? Were you operating the ferry, or what was it?
No. People who live there, very few people.
Shelter Island.
Right. I'm sorry. Shelter Island, or right near Riverhead.
Yeah.
And they would come in and, you know, they would put the flares down at night so that they could land in the grass. They would drop off all the duffel bags and then take back off.
Well, now it's not even worth it because the real estate's so expensive there.
Exactly.
You'd have to sell a lot of
pot. This happened all over the country.
Yeah.
When it was just the part of the underground economy.
That Robert Downey Jr., though, he was crazy. I mean, Morton Downey Jr., yeah. Sorry. He
well,
was
remember,
insane.
He ended up in a bathroom at San Francisco International Airport, stumbled out. He had a swastika on his forehead like Charlie Manson.
Crazy.
And that whole his whole story fell apart.
Yeah, he did a Jussie Smollett kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
He did it to himself.
And remember, he would always be smoking.
Yeah.
Smoking on, you can't do that.
He might have been smoking some wacky tobacco too or something.
I don't
something
think so.
Degenerated
I don't think so.
That brain.
But remember Rod Serling and
yes.
Twilight Zone,
yes,
how he'd be smoking?
Yep.
Now you can't do that anymore.
No, no. Well, you shouldn't smoke. Smoking's
oh,
bad.
I had so many great appearances on the old Morton Downey Jr. show. The best, though, you got to go to YouTube.
What was the Rand Paul one?
Me versus, not Rand, and
Ron.
Not RuPaul. Ron Paul running
I
for president.
I would like to see you debate RuPaul. That would be an interesting debate.
Oh, absolutely. Three snaps up, RuPaul. Three snaps up.
1-800-848-9222. Drew, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Hey. I wanted to say, it's interesting when people say, hey, we don't know how Dr. King would think, which is true because the man's not alive. But if you look at it, the people who were around him, Jesse Jackson, John Lewis, even Jim Clyburn had a relationship with him. You see the direction they're going in. You see how they feel about the voting rights and things like that. And even the pastor at his church right now, who originally started at my church in Harlem, the Abyssinia Baptist Church, Raphael Warnock, is the state senator of Georgia.
Yep,
and let's not forget, he's the pastor at Ebenezer Baptist Church. So when people say that, that's kind of a way out. And Curtis, I have much respect for you, but this thing with Andrew Giuliani winning, man, you look like you're losing your mind.
No. But in the meantime, Drew, let me ask you a question on the voting rights issue and the legislation. A lot of Americans who are non-political don't understand under these COVID lockdown pandemic restrictions, they have to show a vaccine passport. They have to show personal ID. They cannot for the life of themselves say what? And to vote, you don't have to show personal ID. They do it in Canada. They do it in Mexico. They do it in Europe. Why wouldn't we do it here? It's common sense. I think Drew has
did we lose? I think we lost Drew. Well,
I'll answer for Drew.
Look, the problem is that where they are putting these voter ID laws in, they're making it so the people who have the IDs are the people who they want to come and vote for them, right? So, for example, in the state of Texas, if you have a state-issued student ID issued by the state of Texas, it is not acceptable for voting, even though it has a photograph of you on it and a seal. But if you have a gun permit issued at a county office with no photo, it's acceptable for voter ID. So that's a clear example of an egregious thing. So what I'm saying—
Now, can I vote with a SNAP card? Because, you know, a SNAP card—
Why not?
Food stamps—
It's a government-issued ID.
It has a picture on it now.
Right. So what, look, here's what I say.
But let me ask you a question. A lot of times I'm in a grocery store, supermarket, a guy is coming through with a SNAP card and it has a picture of a woman on it, and yet the clerk is not even looking to identify the person.
The clerk's going to be the person, got to be the police of the SNAP. I mean, give me a break. The poor clerk making $10 an hour, $15 an hour now here in New York, thank God. You know, let's let the clerk alone. But my question for you is simple. What's wrong with having a national standard of an ID that's easily accessible to everyone?
Well, you know who first proposed that?
Joe Manchin did.
No. Before him, Hillary Rodham Clinton suggested a national ID card. She got such incredible blowback from her fellow Democrats. She lost it in her vernacular.
Well, my feeling is this. It has to be accessible.
Yes.
Right? So, and Democrats should trade for it. And the problem is Republicans don't want to trade. I would trade it, but here's what I want.
Yes.
I would want a 30-minute or less rule for voting. I don't like seeing these lines that are, you know, 8 hours long.
Agreed.
Right? Let's say, okay, we're going to have a national standard ID that everybody, even in blue states, needs to get to vote.
Yes.
You know, not just a driver's license, but if you don't drive, there's some other easily accessible thing that you could get for free in America.
Yes.
Okay? And in exchange, we're going to make it so that if no matter where you live, it's 30 minutes to vote. 30 minutes to get there and to vote. Done. I'd go for that.
wow.
I'd make that deal. I'd make that deal right now.
All right, but remember.
And I'd also, but you got to throw in what I said earlier in the show. With the Election Control Act, you have to make sure that state legislatures can't willy-nilly decide that votes don't count.
Understood. Understood. There's room for room to move there.
Right.
But remember when we were kids, it was the rage. There was a blockbuster in every neighborhood in America.
Yes.
Rural areas, suburban areas, yes. Shopping malls, urban areas. 99 cent, you could rent a video, which was
And I
great.
Always wanted to work there, and they never would hire me. I'd apply every time.
You had to show an ID.
You had to have a Blockbuster card. You'd have a membership.
I know, but the point is, you also, at times, have to show an ID. I think the only Blockbuster left is in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, but see,
or Bend, Oregon. I'm not quite sure.
I always like to say that Blockbuster's not the state. It's not the state. It's a private company. We live in a capitalist free society. Where private companies can choose their own rules.
Wait a
right?
second.
They are not the state.
Chris, you got to show ID to do everything, but not to vote. For instance.
I
went to vote.
Do you show IDs to do everything?
Absolutely.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
They don't know that it's you, Curtis
Lee? No. Oh, and they,
I am
suspect.
Less recognizable than you are. I never show
they're
my ID.
They're suspect at times. Right. We have to see ID, Mr. Sliwa.
I got carded the other day buying wine.
Oh.
I was buying wine. I don't drink, but now, I was buying a bottle of wine.
It reminded you of your youth when all of a sudden you would find a wino outside of a liquor store.
I'm getting carded buying wine, and I had a baseball hat on. I go, I'm going to take my hat off now.
Cigarettes.
I'm taking my hat off now. You think you still need
wine,
to card me?
Cigars,
right.
Tipperillos, you know, the
get
whole thing.
Carded
yards.
Buying wine.
You know, to make you blunt, you know, to hollow out your cigar and then smoke your marijuana.
I just think the goal needs to be most people possible voting. As easy as possible. Right?
No,
that's the problem I have is I feel like in the South and in other red states, they're trying to make it harder for people to vote. And that I don't like that.
All right. But again, I give you room. It's like a slide rule. We can move the slide rule up and down. But the point is, you have to show ID. In Canada, which is far more liberal and progressive than we are, you got to show ID to vote.
Let's have a real conversation, not this hyper-politicized conversation about voting in America, because there are bad things happening in some states in this country around voting rights.
Well, you know, Donald Trump brought that up yesterday in Arizona. His whole theme of his speech was, Dominion Smartmatic, they stole the election.
I'm telling you,
look, he's the favorite to win the Republican nomination, no doubt, but if he runs on this, if he keeps mentioning this at rallies across America instead of, obviously, what to do about inflation, what to do about competing against the Red Chinese, the Russian menaces, he's going to lose.
Nobody likes a sore loser. Nobody likes a whiny little you-know-what. And Donald Trump, whenever he talks about the election that he lost, that 60 courts, including multiple courts with people he appointed on them, ruled that he lost fair and square. He keeps talking about how he won when he lost. Nobody likes that.
No, and by the way,
he won't have 60%.
By the way, let me use as an example Michael Buttigieg, Rudy Giuliani. He was America's mayor at the time,
right.
After 9/11. He was ahead in the polls to become the Republican nominee, ahead of Mitt Romney, ahead of John McCain. I accompanied him in Florida because he decided, I'm not running in Iowa where I have to drink ethanol. And I'm not going up to New Hampshire there where Democrats can cross over and vote. Florida, where there are a lot of ex-New Yorkers. Every speech was about 9/11.
It's like Obama said, you want to define Rudy Giuliani? It's a noun, a verb, and 9/11.
Right, but the point was, he learned from that as much as people praised him for the work he did for all of us in the aftermath of 9/11, that wasn't the issue that they wanted to hear. The issues then were different than 9/11, and he crashed and burned in that Republican primary.
Well, and it's why his son's going to crash and burn.
No, I'm supporting Andrew Giuliani to become the next governor of the state of New York.
I mean, you've gotten used to losing elections now, right?
Wait a second.
You've gotten accustomed to it.
Oh, by the way, speaking of elections, I tried to vote with my little cat Gizmo because I and my wife, we rescue cats. They wouldn't let me bring Gizmo in as my comfort animal.
Well, Gizmo didn't have an ID.
And I didn't have to show ID. Meantime, we went across the street after we voted, get a little croissant and coffee. We had to show a vax ID, and we had to show personal ID. That is crazy.
Gizmo should have been allowed. I saw that on television. I'm like, Wednesday when I see Curtis at the radio meeting,
Chris,
I'll talk to him.
Gizmo has his own Twitter account.
He's doing better than you.
Damn right.
1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Lee, we're with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222. Let's go to the phones. Christine, you're on with Curtis Sliwa and Chris Hahn. How you doing, Christine?
Hi. Good afternoon, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing good.
Good. I really like this. This is the first time I'm listening to the show. I like the, you know, the contrast of the left and right, and you guys do it well, you know?
Thank you.
I'm not getting, like, of listening to it and getting upset.
We don't want anybody to get upset. That's our whole thing. We're trying to have a national conversation, not a national fight.
I like that because I've been getting upset lately and having nightmares. So anyway, about Fauci. So when he snapped back at, I don't remember what senator it was, about, you know, and then called him a moron and this and that. I was just thinking about that movie, A Few Good Men, with Jack Nicholson, when he does himself in and he says, you can't handle the truth, and then he kind of falls apart. I know that you, Chris, are probably more of a fan of Fauci than I am, because I was a lifelong Democrat and then changed to conservative last year. I'm paying attention a lot more to what's going on. But I feel like if they keep pressing him at these, whatever they're doing, these panel discussions, I don't really know what it is. I'm new into politics.
They're Senate hearings.
He's going to crack.
Well, look, Christine, I mean, I think he's tired of this at this point. This is a guy who's been a public servant for 40 plus years. He's one of the best there is at his business. And he's got to listen to a guy like Rand Paul.
Rand Paul, the
moral ophthalmologist, telling him about infectious disease.
But Rand Paul looks forward to this.
He does.
And I'll tell you what.
It's good for Rand Paul's fundraising.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
Fauci pointed it out.
I'll tell you what. I met Rand Paul.
And Christine, thanks for your call.
I met Rand Paul at a luncheon. He was able to explain a lot of this. But I always look at a person and I say, why is he on the attack? Remember his neighbor came up. Yeah. And sucker punched him and yoked him.
Pulled him off his lawnmower.
Right, dislocated his shoulders and all that. Now you know a little bit about Rand Paul's personality.
Somebody got so mad at him that they just punched him.
Oh, no, not just punch him. Yoked him, dislocated his
shoulders.
Maybe
he's a bad breaker-upper. Remember that Seinfeld?
Yeah, they did a Harry Reid to him. Remember Harry Reid who claimed, oh, the treadmill did it. Yeah, sure, Harry.
Well, he was old.
Yeah, sure, Harry. The treadmill did it, huh?
Well, he was also a boxer. He was a pugilist like you, right?
Wait a second. Remember that famous scene in Casino with Robert De Niro, the Scorsese classic with Joe Pesci?
Great one.
There is De Niro acting as the Jewish gangster Rothman, who wanted a license for a casino. And the Harry Reid character said, no, we're not issuing you the license. And all of a sudden, De Niro gets up. With all the favors we've done for you and your cronies here, all that, and he's gaveling, you know. That's Harry Reid. That was
1-800-848-922. You know, you gotta speak ill of the dead. Is that what you're going to do today?
Yes, I do that.
You're going to speak ill of the dead?
He probably went straight to hell without an asbestos suit.
Anything you want to say about John F. Kennedy today?
Camelot did not exist. That was
how about
all,
RFK?
That was all fake. Oh, he was the protector of JFK.
You got anything bad to say about Bob Saget, who died last week?
Bob Saget? No, I can't.
He
really
was good.
Although,
he's a good guy. Funny.
Here it is. Mainstream TV. Yet if you had gone to his comedy shows, I did not.
I did.
Which were never filmed, right?
No, he did. His specials
were
aired.
He didn't do HBO specials.
He did HBO specials.
Well, how did he get these mainstream TV programs?
Well, the thing is that he got the mainstream TV programs before people knew how dirty he was in the club. And then he's like, look, I'm not just a dad from Full House. I'm Bob Saget, comedian, and here's my comedy.
And how wrong she
would
have
been. It's like Eddie Murphy. If you thought I was going to be here in the buckwheat mask and you brought your kids, you're in for a shock tonight.
Well, let's face it. He's one of the few to be able to make that kind of a transition. I would say Harvey is the other one.
Steve Harvey is, it's funny. I love that guy. I love his stand-up routine. I love watching him on Family Feud. He's just hilarious.
I tell you, the time I met Steve Harvey, right, he was dropping the F-bomb every which way.
Yeah.
God, every second word
like
was
the
F-bomb.
Air.
And he goes, I remember you. I was in Dallas. You were in Trinity River housing projects, man. I remember seeing you. This dopey white boy is going to get killed here. That was a rough housing project in West Dallas. No longer in existence. Bulldozed
Let's
down.
Take some of these calls before we have to go here. Let's go to Roger. Roger, you've been on for a while. Roger, how you doing?
Hi there. Thank you very much indeed. Mr. Khan, I want to clarify a very important point. You mentioned that Kamala Harris is African-American. In fact, she's three-quarters Caucasian. Her mother
Wait, this is the guy who calls with my grammatical errors, too, right? It's the same guy.
Three-quarters Caucasian? What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know
about?
What he's talking about. I'll call her African-American because that's what she calls herself.
Look, there are many things we could say about Kamala Harris. She is an African-American.
Yes.
Period.
Period. 1-800-848-9222. Joe, you're on with Chris.
Hey, question for you, Chris. Remember the good old days in the 70s and 80s when people used to get shot? You watch the TV shows. They would have policewoman, Beretta, everybody would get, like, heart attacks on the show. I want to know, can you find out if we could get lawsuits for every criminal that gets away pointing a gun at somebody and they die of a heart attack?
Can we you actually can get a lawsuit if somebody points a gun at you and they have a heart attack.
Let me ask
That's
you a
actually
question.
Something you can do.
He conjured up the image of Beretta, you know, feeding his bird there with the pimp giving him information.
Yeah.
Beretta killed his wife, didn't he?
He did. He did. Bad people. Wilfred, you're on with Chris.
Did that break
Curtis.
Your heart, though?
Broke
Did that
my
break
heart.
Your heart?
Broke my heart.
Beretta killed his
yeah.
wife.
Yeah, well, I wasn't as big a fan as you because it was kind of before my time.
Oh, okay.
I know it was a very important show for you.
Oh, absolutely.
You based your life on it, basically, right? I mean, you basically.
What
beret.
A DT. What a
is that why you wear a beret? Is it a tribute to Beretta? Beretta?
No,
Am
no,
I
that's
time?
A stretch.
I can't even take
that's
Wilfred.
A stretch. That's a stretch.
I think it might.
So again, I know you're going to go cop a squat and watch NFL football action, playoff action. All right. So again, you're predicting who's going to end up in the Super Bowl.
I think it's going to be KC and
your favorite, Aaron Rodgers,
Green Bay. See you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.